The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the final program of this work week. It's good to be with you. And we came up here just a few minutes after some thunderous rain here in the UK. It's not often that you get to hear the thunder. It's already nice and sunny, so it didn't last very long. I guess very similar to a storm in Oklahoma. So we felt right at home with the thunder. We have couple of montages that we're going to be playing today in case some of you listening in would like to switch over to YouTube to see the images. The sound, I think, is still going to be pretty compelling. So if you're just listening in, that's fine as well. One of the things we've been emphasizing in recent months is just how timely, really out ahead of the curve, the Trumpet magazine has been all year long. That latest issue, as I referred to yesterday, I guess actually the July issue is already out, but the one before that, it talked about the will worship around this world. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later on. But we can make the same point with the Key of David program, my father's program, just how timely. I've noticed it even here recently, the one on modern education. And then this one that's posted just today, I'll give you a snippet from it. It's the Satan's Frightening Power. This was posted, I guess, last night to be precise. But this is the program that's to play all over the United States and indeed around the world in the next few days. Here's clip one.
Satan has frightening power, And people need to understand that better, much better than what they do. There's many people that don't even believe in a devil, but they should. And there's many others that believe in the devil, but they don't know and understand the devil. And they don't understand his power. He has the power to wreck nations. And he's done that many times.
He has the power, my father said there, to wreck nations. And he's done it over and over again. And we've seen it. Even in our modern age, we have seen nations collapse. And we know about prophecies that ask, why will you die? God asked that. He asked that of nations. Why will you die? That's the program that's playing this weekend, a strong one. Satan's frightening power. It is frightening. Now, the thing that's amazing about that Key of David is that it was recorded last Wednesday, May 27th, last Wednesday, and then Wednesday night, the rioting in Minneapolis, well, the city started to go up in flames. And we talked about it on Thursday's program and then more on last Friday's program. But here's my father recording this show in God's house in Armstrong Auditorium on Wednesday, May 27th. And look at, and the subject, keep in mind, is Satan's frightening power. And then consider what has happened since that program was recorded. Here's a montage of what's been going on over the past 6, 7, 8 days. Clip two.
Everything is on fire. Everything is exploding.
Thank you. craziest stuff I've ever seen right now. This is Target right now.
Those are the mostly peaceful protests over the last 7 days. Mostly peaceful, just a tiny few. I'm amazed at how many smart people, how many top officials in government have stressed over and again, it's just a handful of people involved in the violence. Well, you've heard some scholars even this week say that it's not even really violence. You look at that video and you're struck by the number of people involved in the violence. Just the sheer number. This is not a handful. And for those that would say, well, but some were just out there watching it. Well, those three other police officers were watching a crime being committed as well. And they've now been charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. They observed a crime, and they didn't do anything to stop it. And they're paying for it. But I guess if police officers, some of the police, as you've heard this week, if you've listened to this program, they've been told to stand down. So they're standing there in some cases and watching crimes being committed. Think of the Minneapolis police force in that third precinct. They just stood aside and watched the precinct burned to the ground, and they did nothing. They did nothing about it. So it's okay. If you're in law enforcement, it's okay to watch a crime in real time as long as they're rioters. That's the United States of America today. We had one listener say about some of the footage we've shown you this week. Well, you've conveniently left out the mountain of footage showing police acting disproportionately more brutal than these rioters. This is someone who believes that the police have been acting more brutal than what you just saw there. It says, and you failed to mention that peaceful protesters have gone on record multiple times to disavow the looters and the violent rioters. Oh, okay. So everything's good then. Cities have been burned. Businesses have closed up. They're boarded up and they may never come back. And here's someone, and I'm sure this listener is not alone. Well, you know he's not. But here's someone who prefers anarchy over a constitutional republic. a government that obviously is not perfect, a nation that obviously doesn't have a perfect track record, but to prefer anarchy, to prefer that over the United States of America and its founding institutions, what you saw there was chaos, anarchy, happening on the streets of America. My father wrote in Great Again, he said, people are being, this is from 2017, he said, people are being whipped into a frenzy of hatred and violence. This is something the devil knows how to exploit. He's the god of this world. He cites 2 Corinthians 4:4 there, and he knows how to work on people's emotions. He knows how to work on people's emotions.
He has the power to wreck nations.
And he has the power, as you heard there, to wreck nations. This is what our nations are going up against, and we don't realize it. We're opening our minds, our lives, our families, our communities, our nations. We're opening them up to the power of the devil, and he is wreaking havoc. He's wrecking the nation. He's wrecking the United States. That's what's happening. If you step back and look at the bigger picture, we're seeing a nation collapse. We're seeing a nation in ruin. And not just any nation, the world's lone superpower. We're about to see a world without America. We're about to see the post-American world. This program my father had for this weekend, well, actually, this goes back to earlier this year, just to continue with this theme about how that the key of David has also been out front. Very timely. This is a clip from a program that aired on March 20th, the Key of David program. And this one, again, another powerful title, The History of Lucifer. Here's clip 4.
Lucifer was actually the beginning of evil in this world. And if we need to go back to that origin. If we don't get the origin of events, then we don't get a deep understanding of them. So we have to go back and consider that. If you fail to see the beginning of a movie, you are confused about what's going on in that movie.
That's from March 20th. Now, what's interesting there, as far as the timing is concerned, is he recorded that on Wednesday, March 11th. What was going on Wednesday, March 11th, and soon after? Well, March 11th was when the World Health Organization declared a worldwide pandemic. March 11th, the day my father recorded that program there, was when Dr. Fauci testified that coronavirus is 10 times worse than the seasonal flu. The seasonal flu, according to the World Health Organization, kills between 290,000 to 650,000 people per season. That's the estimate from the World Health Organization, which is basically an extension of communist China. So their estimate is 290,000 to 650,000 per year. Dr. Fauci, on March 11, he said that this virus was 10 times worse. I'll leave it to you to do the math. As of this morning, the deaths as a result of COVID-19, it was at 393,000, I believe. So right there within that bracket. It's not low, but it hasn't even yet reached 650,000. That's the seasonal flu. That happens every year, the seasonal flu. But here were all these wild estimates. You know all about that. We've covered it plenty. And then the reaction in the United States, in Britain, the president announcing that same evening that my father taped that program I just played a clip from. He was going to put a ban on all travel between the United States and Europe. Then you had the announcements of all these conventions and public gatherings, obviously the sporting events that were being canceled. That was all happening. March 11th, March 12th. In fact, March 12th on Fox News, it said here, the night of March 11th, 2020 may be remembered as the point where the coronavirus outbreak reached a new level of seriousness in the U.S., and did it ever. It was so serious that within days, there was a worldwide lockdown. There was a reaction that made the response to 9/11 just seem like a little hit on the pause button. Now here we are, again, following that program, The History of Lucifer, and here we are in the month of June, and we have some perspective now, don't we? I just showed you the latest numbers on the COVID-19 deaths. This is a piece from Mark Giller. He says, or he writes, "While in the beginning, these nationwide lockdowns may have been ordered with the goal of preserving public health, they have long since ceased to be about that. Need proof? Just look at the same politicians who freaked out about pool parties and who still insist on keeping your church, synagogue, or mosque closed, and then compare that with their cheering on the protesters. Now they're cheering on the protesters. Tens of thousands of them nationwide. Breaking windows, looting businesses, setting fires to their communities, maiming and killing people, and presumably spreading a deadly virus. It says here, if these governors and mayors truly believed that COVID-19 was such a serious threat that it warranted the destruction of the greatest economy we've seen in decades and the wholesale suspension of our civil liberties, they wouldn't have hesitated to call out the National Guard and stop these protests cold. Even if they were just concerned about COVID-19 alone and not the businesses that just got smashed up, if they were really serious, like they said they were 2-3 weeks ago, well, they'd send out the National Guard just to keep the crowds from coming together. Because remember, we've got to save grandma. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for your neighbor, said Andrew Cuomo. You don't hear much of that anymore. It says here, if these governors and mayors truly believe, well, I guess I read that, they wouldn't have hesitated to call out the guard. It says, all of which makes you wonder, did they ever believe COVID-19 was that big of a threat? And if they did, when did they realize it wasn't the monster they thought it was? And most importantly, when were they planning to let the rest of us in on the secret? Some good questions. In the end, I guess social justice trumps social distance. Suddenly, on a dime, they didn't care about the social distance. This is from a Johns Hopkins epidemiologist. It says, in this moment, this is from a disease expert. He says, in this moment, the public health risks of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus. So even the experts are now backtracking because, well, this takes precedent. You've got to get out there for some social justice. From Brigham Young, it says, while I have voiced concerns that protests risk creating more outbreaks, the status quo wasn't going to stop COVID-19 either. So get on out there and destroy the cities. This is what the experts are now saying. As one commentator wrote, not a single governor or mayor has tried to shut down protests themselves, even though Black Lives Matter marchers are breaking the very edicts they signed. Remember all the decrees? Remember all the edicts? All the rules and regulations imposed upon states from the governor's offices, from mayor's offices? Now they turn on a dime, and then they see their cities going up in flames. What's behind this? There's a spirit behind it. The God of this world is behind it. My father talks this weekend in a program that was recorded last Wednesday about the frightening power of Satan. Here's what he said in that one back in March, The History of Lucifer, clip 5.
He totally wrecked the earth. And then God had to come along and recreate it, really. That's what Genesis 1 is all about, recreating the earth from that destruction of Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, the adversary of God.
That has been Satan's legacy. He wrecks the earth. He wrecks nations. He wrecks cities. Everywhere you look, where he's been, there's wreckage. There's destruction. There's Tohu and Bohu. He's the author of violence. He's the author of murder. He's the author of lying and deceit. In Revelation 12:7, my father brings these verses out in the recent program. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels," it says, "and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." No more space for them in heaven. Now they're confined to this earth. Verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So the devil, all the angels, they're cast out, they're confined to this earth. And so this explains so much about why the earth is the way it is. Why there's so much injustice, why there's so much violence, as it says in Genesis 6, and that's important because of what Jesus said in Luke 17, as in the days of Noah, corruption, evil, violence. Satan the devil and millions upon millions of demons, they're confined to this earth, and they're stirring up wrath. What was that great again quote? "People are being whipped into a frenzy of hatred and violence." Listen to the Reverend Al Sharpton yesterday at the eulogy, or giving the eulogy at the Floyd Memorial, clip 6.
"Ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed to be in is you kept your knee on our neck."
We kept our knees on their necks. So we're to blame. We're responsible. You look at some of the left-wing cities, ever since the 60s, they've had, I know that the black community, the leaders, so many of them, they want to make it just strictly a race thing. But it's even bigger than that, as I've covered this week. This is a communist movement, a communist insurrection. And the Democrat socialists have had control over the major cities of the United States for 5 or 6 decades. 5 or 6 decades. As Daniel Henninger wrote at the Wall Street Journal, he says that means 5 decades of stasis and stagnation in America's most marginalized places, virtually all of it under Democratic, now progressive, political control. That's just at the Wall Street Journal. And so even with swift justice in motion for George Floyd, swift justice going after those 4 police officers, and virtually no justice for the rioters, those that have been arrested, so many of them have been let go, as I said yesterday. You would think this would be a time of celebration for some of these leaders in the far left communist movement. Instead, there he is yesterday at the eulogy, or in his eulogy, talking about all of us, using the metaphor of all of us as white people having our knee in the necks of the blacks. Here's Van Jones on CNN the other day, clip 7.
We are on a pathway right now, Brooke, to 5 or 10 American cities on fire by the end of this summer if we get one more videotape and another videotape and nothing done.
So, and nothing done, he said. So nothing's done. Nothing's been done in the Floyd case, I guess. One more incident in a nation of 325 million people. Here's Van Jones, a committed socialist, an extremist, a radical, and he's on CNN frequently, and there he is saying one more and 5 or 10 cities are going to go up in flames. If it's one more incident, there's more to come, he says. Verse 12, it says, therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows. He knows he has but a short time. So he's confined to this earth. He's filled with wrath. And he knows his time is about up. And he has the power, as my father says this weekend, he has the power to wreck nations. He's wrecking the United States. He's wrecking it, and you see it all over the place. Not just with the violence and the looting and the burning and the arson and all that, but you see it in the way people are thinking. You see it in the will worship, as I covered yesterday. My father wrote in that article about worshiping demons. He says that's because the human mind is so vulnerable to Satan's broadcasting, deception, and influence, especially when full of vanity. So you have vanity and pride, and we're opening ourselves up to the devil's influence. It says following a human will really means following Satan's will. Following a human being or a human system in the way that so many are now. It's almost like, as I said yesterday, a worship service. You had the images from Bethesda, Maryland, the Black Lives Matter preachers, and then all of these people, thousands of them, most of them white, bowing down, hands in the air, repeating after the leader. That is will worship. That's will worship. And it's spreading, as this next montage brings out, clip 8.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
That's okay.
But since I work for that company, my CEO has told me to come out today and to bring you on your knees because you have white privilege. So if they see that a white person is getting on their knees, that shows solidarity for the situation. The situation. And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
Take that knee! Take that knee! Take that knee!
Grant Napier, the voice of the Sacramento Kings, is now out of a job. He was placed on leave from Sports 1140 yesterday over a Twitter dispute with former Kings player DeMarcus Cousins about Black Lives Matter. Napier has since apologized and resigned from his position with the Kings.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. When the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States, I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II.
I can't believe you, Drew. What would make you think at this moment, Skip, 8-9 days after George Floyd had lost his life, you would bring up the military and the flag?
Drew Brees did issue an apology this morning on Instagram.
But he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same.
He ain't part of us,
bro.
He ain't part of us, bro. He's from the police. Graffiti, but so you don't care about black lives then? Not a great way to use your white privilege, ladies. That's disgusting.
Can you do me a favor? Can you take a knee? Can you take a knee?
I don't know. They ain't enough for me.
They
ain't enough for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me see you take a knee.
They ain't enough for me.
Let me see you take a knee. Thank you. Thank you.
I will use my voice in the most uplifting way possible. I will love my black neighbors the same as my white ones.
That's will worship right there. That's bowing before the communist mob. That's what it amounts to. It's no longer about accepting Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Now we've got to worship them. Now we've got to love them. It wasn't that long ago when the controversy was over the one who knelt before the flag, who took a knee in protest. Now, if you don't kneel, you're shamed on social media. You're shouted down. You're fired, maybe. This case with Grant Napier, if you saw the tweet there in the montage, all lives matter, every single one of them, and he's fired for that. He's fired for that. And DeMarcus Cousins, the NBA player, he's the one that has made an art out of the technical foul. There's the technical foul, and then there's the DeMarcus Cousins technical foul. So he used to play for the Kings. They probably spent time with Napier on the team plane. He probably, back before everyone had lost their mind, Napier probably made a comment similar to the one he tweeted earlier this week, that all lives matter. But now, keeping in mind that people have been whipped into a frenzy of hatred and violence, now a tweet like that, he's fired immediately. And then Cousins and all of his friends in the NBA, they have a good laugh. They took him down. We destroyed his career. And Drew Brees having to apologize for saying, I'm not going to disrespect the flag. I'm going to stand. My two grandfathers fought in World War II. And the reaction to that yesterday was insane. It was absolutely insane to see grown men on his own team, hulking men, athletes, millionaires who live in gated communities, whose feelings were hurt by what Drew Brees said, crying on videos they were distributing around the world, crying like little children. It's a shame. And there's an evil spirit behind this wave of emotion, a tidal wave of emotion. Now suddenly Colin Kaepernick, he's one of the wisest philosophers of the United States. Do we even need to go through his Twitter feed to show you how much he hates America? All of these people rising to shame Drew Brees because of the oppression. LeBron James has been oppressed. LeBron James, I suppose, wants the police to be defunded. He wants us to perhaps, I bet he wants the fences to be removed around the White House. But what about the gates and the fences around these millionaires' homes? What about when the violence reaches their neighborhood? Because that's what the Bible prophesies. And what about just considering the blessings and the freedoms of the United States and how that it afforded them the opportunity to be a millionaire ten times over? Where else in the world could LeBron James have become what he did in the United States? I think even in Europe, maybe the Premier League would be an exception if you're a fantastic soccer player or some of the European leagues. But outside of those, the big soccer leagues, and then the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, where else as an athlete could you make $10, $20, $30, $40 million per year? And then the oppression that these famous athletes are, crying about. How could you be offended by what Drew Brees said? You have your opinion, okay, kneel down, fine. But he states his opinion. I'm going to stand up for the national anthem and the flag. How dare he say that? Melanie Phillips, she says, kneeling to surrender British and Western values. I think it was, the other commentator that puts out those 5-minute videos quite often. He was saying the same thing. It's really a war over values, Dennis Prager. Kneeling to surrender British and Western values. It's a thing here, too, in the UK. People were out kneeling. 2 weeks ago, they came out on Thursday nights to worship the NHS. Now it's everybody take a knee. It's will worship. We'll bow down to anything except God. Now, how many of these same people kneel to the great creator God? How many of them? That's exactly the problem, isn't it? We'll kneel down in front of any movement, even the communist mob, if we have to. Melanie Phillips says various groups have seized the opportunity offered by Floyd's death to whip up hatred, criminality, and insurrection in pursuit of their aim of overturning Western society, which they claim is incorrigibly bad. This is the plain truth in the 1950s. And now you see it's happening, as I've been covering this week. This is like something you'd read from Herbert Armstrong in 1956. She says here, the hundreds taking a knee on Britain's streets have duly acted as their useful idiots by falling into line, some raising clenched fists behind that utterly malign agenda. And now you've got the video coming out of policemen and reporters running from the mobs in London, chased away, and people laughing, people having fun with it. How much longer before it explodes in violence? Here in Britain's big cities, you just have to surrender. If the mob says it, you surrender to it. You take a knee. The New York Times has now apologized for running the Tom Cotton opinion editorial. Tom Cotton is a U.S. senator. Tom Cotton is a U.S. senator who's calling for troops to settle things down in U.S. cities. Now the New York Times, because they had people in their own office, they were calling in sick, they were protesting work, they were talking about how that if we don't come out and apologize for this, it's going to put lives in danger. The military coming in to settle down a riot, that somehow endangers lives. And so they come out and they apologize for even running this article, this op-ed from and the Arkansas senator. Now, I don't think they apologized for The Art of Propaganda. That was by Adolf Hitler, June of 1941. The New York Times ran it. Hitler. That was a few months before Pearl Harbor. What we, the Taliban, want. I don't have the date on that. It's from a few years back, but they ran that editorial as well, or opinion piece. That's by a Taliban leader. They put in an article in 2013 by Vladimir Putin, a plea for caution from Russia. And then they wrote one, or Nicolas Maduro wrote one in 2014 for the New York Times, Venezuela, a call for peace. And then who can forget another one from 2014, pedophilia, a disorder, not a crime. That was an op-ed piece in 2014 by Margot Kaplan. But how dare Tom Cotton say that we might need the troops to stop the violence and the burning. They've since apologized. We don't want troops in the street. If anything, we want the police to be defunded. Barack Obama the other day in that speech, he talked about how that there needs to be reform right across the board in every local law enforcement area, jurisdiction. They all need reform. And so L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, he came out with an announcement yesterday saying that, hey, we've got some good reform plans for the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department. Here's clip 10.
And so I have instructed and committed to, in public to that group, that our city, through our city administrative officer, identify $250 million in cuts so we could invest in jobs, in health, in education, and in healing.
$250 million in cuts. Cuts from the police department in Los Angeles so that the community can heal. So LA can be a better and safer place. This communist mob, years ago it was defund ICE, now it's defund the police. You heard it in one of the montages. Defund the police. Defund the police. Here we hear they're expected to do better, the police. And so what do? We'll cut the funding and reduce the size of the force, I guess. How is that going to help the city of Los Angeles? How is that going to reduce crime? How crazy is it that when it comes to government spending, everything else is sky high, breaking the budgets, but now because of this, Satan, keep in mind, he's whipping everyone up into an emotional frenzy. And what we need now is for the police, the law enforcement officials, to be defunded. Someone, one of our listeners in Australia, he sent me this front page. It's from the West Australia newspaper, but it's from several days ago. But you can see the cover there if you're looking at the stream. It says, God help America. God help America. Think about what other nations, even Israelite nations, are thinking as they watch America descend into ruin. I happen to hear just a snippet from a talk radio show yesterday, and as it happens, it was an Australian who called in and made a comment. He was talking about the national protests that are planned this weekend in Australia for Black Lives Matter and George Floyd, and how that these protests are organized by Antifa and these radical leftist groups. And then he explained how that these radical groups, and this is not a surprise if you're familiar with Western education at all, but he says that these radical groups have infiltrated all the universities. They rule academia, he said. They run the media for the most part. They're calling for the police to be disbanded. They're calling for the removal of their prime minister, these movements, these groups. And then I wrote down this statement. This is an Australian who was saying to an American presenter or an American personality, he said to him, "I'd just like to impress upon Americans that we desperately need you to win this fight because these people are starting to get their claws in and we can't let our cities burn down." He says, "We don't have a Second Amendment." Australia doesn't have a Second Amendment. He's obviously talking about how that Americans, ordinary Americans, can purchase guns, can have guns for their individual safety. It's in the amendment. So he's saying, look, we're really pulling for America in this fight. Because the other side, the communist mob, they're really digging in their claws. Young people today, there was a piece at Breitbart about how that 58% of young college-educated Americans, they say the riots are justified. These are the educated ones saying that the riots are justified. Nothing wrong with them. And so you have all of these calls from leaders, encouragement, telling the protesters, hey, you guys are onto something. Isn't it great? Barack Obama said the other day that there's so many young people turning out. There's very few that are causing problems. But for the most part, it's been overwhelmingly peaceful. They've been continuing with that lie. Even to today, even after all of the wreckage, Satan has frightening power. He has the power to wreck nations. And that's what we're seeing. Mr. Armstrong, as I've been saying, he said back in 1956 about this communist infiltration. He said it's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system. This is what the Australian caller was talking about. Wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces. And finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. It's happening. We're getting a small preview. Even that comment there in the quote about demoralizing our armed forces. You saw images in the montage. The armed forces kneeling, surrendering American values, surrendering to the communist mob. That's what it amounts to. It's not enough to just accept the group. You've got to worship. You've got to be a believer. Even in the military, the former defense secretary, James Mattis, he got a lot of praise from the radical left this week for coming out to criticize President Trump. And he said, we must not be distracted by a small number of lawbreakers. This is the former defense secretary referring to just a small number of lawbreakers, and they're rightly demanding equal justice. You know, they're justified. And then he says, Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people. It's all President Trump's fault. Here that comes again. It always comes back to that. One man, John Kelly, Mr. Trump's second chief of staff before he was fired or resigned, I can't remember. He came out quickly in defense of Mr. Mattis. But then you have the current Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. In his speech earlier this week, he talked about how he was opposed to the Insurrection Act. He didn't want the president. He's assisting the president. The president's the commander-in-chief. The president's talked about the Insurrection Act and how that he'll use it if he needs to. And then here comes the Secretary of Defense, just in open defiance, saying, I'm not in favor of that at all. In fact, I wasn't even in favor of the president going across the street and pushing back those protester lines. I forget all the words that he said. Maybe I exaggerated to some degree. But here is the Secretary of Defense. Even in the military, what did Mr. Armstrong say? Demoralizing our armed forces. There's people high up in the military today that look at what happened over the last week and say, well, you know what? It's just a small number of lawbreakers. So we don't want to be distracted. Listen to what Victor Davis Hanson said on Fox News earlier this week, clip 13.
Well, I think we're waiting for one brave person to step forward and say no more. I've seen a lot of riots and demonstrations, arsony, looting in my lifetime. They've been more violent, they've been more deadly, but I've never seen any where the authorities themselves tried to contextualize the violence, apologize, even approve of it.
He's never seen anything quite like this. Authorities approving of the violence. And so what are we waiting for? We're waiting for one individual, one person, one brave person to step forward and to put an end to it, or to say, no more, that's enough, stop it. My father and great again, he says, in the face of such problems, our people have become faint-hearted, too cowardly to do what needs to be done. We're afraid of almost everything, it seems, because we don't know God and we don't let him empower us and give us the courage that we need. We don't let God give us the courage to speak the truth, to take courageous action. Everyone's surrendering to the mob. Well, there's at least one man that's standing against it, and that's why he comes under attack. You look at the latest Trumpet magazine talking about being again ahead of the curve. Tomorrow's News Today. This is on the cover of the magazine that just came out a couple weeks ago. Why the world targets America. And then in parentheses, what do we have? And its president. He's the enemy. He's the target. And so is the United States. All of these evil forces, they want to bring it down. They want to wreck the nation. And Satan's behind it all. What must the other nations be thinking? And forget about Australia and the UK for a moment. What about the Gentile nations who are watching? Germany, we had an article at the Trumpet. Germany's outraged at racist America. Germany's outraged. Well, listen to my father on the Key of David. This is from 2018, a couple years ago. Clip 14.
The great superpower of Israel, America, was really very close to collapsing when Mr. Trump came into power. Now, that may sound a little outrageous, but it is biblical and it is prophetic, and you can prove everything that I'm saying and prove it very precisely. Our constitutional republic was on the precipice of a total failure because, well, a lot of people in this country don't like that constitutional republic.
He said there about how that may seem, you know, outrageous or outlandish to make such a statement, but look at it today. Look how close we were to total collapse even years ago. And as my father said in that Saving America piece, Donald Trump's proven himself to take a stand where others have not. And boy, the more this goes on, the more you see that he pretty much is standing alone. Now, he's got some good advisors. I don't mean he's just all alone. He's surrounded by some quality people. But even in the military, like I say, there's weakness there. There's no courage. Not as much as there should be, I should say. It's like he said in the Great Again booklet. People have become faint-hearted. Isaiah 1 explains why. There's a sickness from head to toe. And were it not for God intervening to save us temporarily, And that temporarily, it's looking to be not that long. It's not going to be this saving for years and years and years to come. It's just very temporary. In the May 2018 Trumpet article, my father says it's critical that we realize why this resurgence, God himself, is pushing back against the Satan-inspired forces that would have destroyed this nation. He's exposing those forces so we can see them clearly, and he's using a man to save the superpower of prophetic Israel, the United States, temporarily. And he's doing this, we could add, because of his great mercy. It's an opportunity for us to act on this precious truth, to act and to follow in the steps of the great Creator God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send us comments, td@kpcg.fm. We'll see you next week.